Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns over the air and online at koacountry1077.com and at lava1053.com. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here on the radio every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And we're sponsored by Hawaiian Ukulele and Guitar at King Shops and on Ali'i Drive. Our podcasts are online at koacountry1077.com and at lava1053.com. Today we're talking agriculture in the state with the head of the State Department of Agriculture, who's also the chair of the State Board of Agriculture, Scott Enright. Good morning, Scott. Aloha.
Good morning, Sherry.
Now, I want to tell people more about you, your bio, but before I do, just the way I introduced you brings to mind that Department of Agriculture is different than most other departments in the state in that you are chair of the board and you are head of the department. And I believe it's only Department of Land and Natural Resources, which has a similar situation. So what are the implications of the Department of Agriculture and the Board of Agriculture?
The Board of Agriculture will work with the chair on our rule changes. So if we want to change statute on how we conduct business in the state, it needs to go before the Board of Agriculture. And so it's a working relationship where we bring in our partners in the agricultural community. They serve as board members and they help us move forward with policy positions.
So it sounds like they sort of serve as your advisors on how to make things work for different segments of the agriculture community?
That's exactly right. That was the intent. When I started, the board was set up working with the director almost as a benign dictatorship. And what I've asked of my board is that they be true advisors, and I want to hear their voice. It makes for votes sometimes that don't come out exactly the way the director might want, but that's fine. You know, I anticipate democracy being untidy and willing to work with that. And so we have a very proactive board that helps us move forward on our policy positions.
Scott Enright, I know that the chair, that's you, you are appointed by the governor of the state, but how does the board get in place?
We ask for names from the agricultural community, and we solicit names sometimes if we're having problems with people stepping forward for public service. And then we present them to the governor. And the governor decides which names will go forward to the Senate because the board members need to be confirmed by the full Senate, going through the Senate Ag Committee first.
Okay, thank you. Now, just to remind people of Scott Enright's background, Scott was first appointed by Governor Neil Abercrombie to be the head of the Department of Agriculture and then asked to stay in the job by Governor David Ige. Now, a very cool thing for us on Hawaii Island, Scott Enright really knows our island because he lives here. In fact, he worked for Hamakua Sugar Company. He's also worked as a consultant for the Hawaii Sustainable Agricultural Renewable Energy Project. He also worked for ITC Water Management, Inc. and was orchard superintendent of the Kilauea Agronomic, both of which are on Kauai. Scott worked as deputy director for State Department of Ag before being appointed chair. And as deputy, he worked on initiatives to revitalize the state's livestock industry with a focus on dairy and grass-fed beef, and worked on improving infrastructure for irrigation systems nationwide. Scott Enright earned his bachelor's degrees in psychology and philosophy from UH Hilo. And I mentioned Scott lives here in O'okala, and as such, he's been very involved with Hawaii Island community initiatives, including the Hamakua Community Development Plan, the Governor's Council of Advisors for East Hawaii, and he was chair of the County Environmental Management Commission, and he's also been involved with a lot of community organizations along the Hamakua coast. Scott, again, thank you for being here. Your website indicates that Department of Agriculture has a tremendous number of responsibilities, including importing and exporting plants and animals, plant pest control, animal disease control, aquaculture, agricultural and market development, financial assistance, ag land leases, irrigation systems, quality assurance, pesticides and keeping statistics for the state. Now, that's what it says on the website. What do you see as the role of the State Department of Agriculture?
We do all of those things and more, Sherry. The Hawaii Department of Agriculture primarily has two real thrusts. One is regulatory. So on some of those issues that you mentioned, we at the Department of Agriculture will regulate pesticide use. We will regulate the importation of plants. We will regulate quality control on agricultural products. So we have a number of regulatory functions, but we're also an advocate for agriculture. So we have our Ag Loan Division, which is actively putting out capital for startup agriculture. Most of our financial institutions aren't lending for agriculture. So having a robust agricultural loan program as a lender of last resort for startup ag is essential, and that's part of our advocacy role. Our Agricultural Development Division helps with marketing, and we help with marketing in-state, so fruits and vegetables, and we also are doing all the export crops. And additionally, the Office of the Chair is all about working with the agricultural community, moving it forward in an advocacy role. So we do many things, but they fall under those two main thrusts.
It's very interesting to me because I think most people think of state departments as more in an oversight role, but you really take a hands-on role with farmers and ag organizations in the state. That's pretty impressive to me.
You know, in the last year, I'd served as the president of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture. So for a year, I represented all 50 states, and I traveled around the country. And this is not unique of departments of agriculture. Agriculture is one of those subjects that brings many people together, and certainly the people that are doing the work. So, yes, we're proactive with the agricultural community, but I've found that to be the norm.
Given all these things you've just mentioned, do you have particular priorities for State Department of Agriculture other than just doing everything you've now mentioned?
We certainly do. Governor Ige has charged the Department of Agriculture with moving our food sustainability issue forward. He would like to double the amount of fruits and vegetables produced in the state in the next 5 years. And that's a real charge that we take seriously. And so we're busy modeling opportunity in the state. And, you know, part of that I mentioned our agricultural loan program. We're there working with people that have an interest in moving forward with an agricultural enterprise to capitalize that enterprise. We're also putting together the statistics that we used to keep for price point. So we haven't, with the last economic downturn, the state rifted a reduction in force of that entire branch. And we're putting that back in place because that'll allow agriculturalists to take a look at different commodities, say cabbage, and they can see how that price point is moving and whether they can make a profit growing it given the trend line on the price point. This is essential for small agriculturalists to move forward. So moving fruits and vegetable crops and modeling that opportunity, and also helping revitalize our livestock industry. Over the course of the last 20 years, we went from a state that was milk self-sufficient to where 80% of the milk is imported. So we're addressing that trend and helping dairies start up in the state. Also, there was a move towards moving beef cattle off island to be finished. And with grass-fed beef and with developing feedstock for keeping beef here, we're doing an excellent job of reversing that and starting to do more of the finishing here in the state. There's a poultry operator that we've been working with that's going to come in and put a million hen facility in Oahu. So we'll start moving back towards being egg self-sufficient. So in modeling opportunities for these different enterprises, we're moving forward on these issues to bring greater food self-sufficiency to the state.
You know, just one thing that you said sort of triggered something in my mind. You talked about egg protection. One thing I've seen at the grocery store oftentimes is that local products, and I'll take local eggs, can be more expensive than eggs that come from the mainland. Is that part of what is being addressed? Because I don't know the extent to which consumers are always willing to pay more for local products, even though we feel good about buying local products.
No, that's exactly right, Sherry. In 2011, Ulupono Initiative did a study of consumer preferences. And 85% of the public here in Hawaii would like to buy local. They would like to buy produce and livestock products that are produced here in the state. But where it comes apart is price point. They're willing to do that up until a certain price. The costs of doing business in the state of Hawaii are land costs are high, our labor costs are high. So potentially we'll always be paying a slight differential for eating local. You know, our challenge at the Hawaii Department of Agriculture and with the entire agricultural community is keeping that price point really close, so that we can market that differential in fresh and nutritious, make it worth the consumer's time to invest that extra money in local products from the state of Hawaii.
So what you're saying is basically I should be willing to spend a few more cents or another dollar maybe to buy something that's local, and that's what you're hoping to achieve.
Potentially. We know from the work that was done in the survey of consumer preferences that consumers really do value freshness and nutrition. And so, again, they're willing to spend the extra dollar if they're getting that. But we need to keep that price point close.
Governor Ige has a goal of doubling production, I think you said, of fruits and vegetables?
Correct.
Okay. What crops are we growing now that could be expanded, or what crops do you think could be added if you have yet determined what all those might be?
Well, that's an excellent question. When we have a conversation about food sustainability, and we often do in this state, a number is often thrown out that 85% of the foods that we eat are imported. In an election year, I've seen it go as high as 95.
In an election year, meaning the rhetoric goes there.
Exactly.
Not necessarily the production.
No, the number goes as high as. And the truth is, we really don't know because we don't have those metrics. The Hawaii Department of Agriculture is finishing a two-year study to come up with a food metrics baseline. It's an online software piece that will track every fruit and vegetable commodity that we import and that we grow. It will tell us what we're currently importing and what we're currently growing and give us the ability to track that going forward. So we will have shortly, and that might be within the next month, this food metrics project finished. So then we can take a look and we can see where that opportunity happens. There are certain commodities, say papayas and sweet potatoes and certain cabbages, that we're food self-sufficient. We currently grow more than we can consume. There are others, say apples. And if the consumer wants to walk into Foodland or KTA and look at 6 or 8 different varieties of apples, we're not going to affect change on that particular commodity. So we'll have an idea when we finish our food metrics project, what we're producing, and then also those crops where we can affect change. So we know with things like leafy greens, you know, most vegetables, we can affect change there. But there are other things that we'll never affect change on. And things like wheat, corn, soy will never really affect change. And so we'll be concentrating where we can affect change going forward.
Scott, one of the things when I spoke with Jeff Melrose, who just completed for you a study along with UH Hilo to look at agriculture land use production, one of the things we did talk about was the number tracking. And as you know, over the past many years, the state and even the feds aren't tracking numbers of production crops the same way they used to. So it sounds like this new study that should be done soon is getting back to where you actually will know if we can, in fact, double crops or not, because we'll know what the baseline numbers are, yeah?
No, that's exactly right. 20 years ago, the Hawaii Department of Agriculture had 5 planters. We currently have 1. We're bringing another one on. So a lot of the work that used to be done in the state in terms of planning, which is the work that Jeff Melrose did with his land use baseline study, is work that we haven't done in a number of years. And with these tools, we can go forward, and yes, we can model opportunity for agriculture in the state.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. We're here every Sunday, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country, 107.7 FM, and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. The podcasts are online at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Just click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. And a big mahalo to our sponsor, Hawaiian Ukulele and Guitar, currently at King Shaw and on Ali'i Drive. Today we're talking story with Scott Enright, chair of the State Department of Agriculture. Part two of our conversation will air on Sunday, April 3rd, because next Sunday morning we're going to talk with Darren Rosario, Hawaii County Fire Chief, about all these arson fires, about 13 so far, and the progress they're making in finding the arsonist who's helping start all these fires. We're going to talk next with Scott Enright about water. We're going to talk then about invasive species. We'll also talk more about the plan to expand agriculture and support farmers. Let's go back to our conversation with Scott Enright, chair of the Hawaii State Department of Agriculture. Clearly, the availability of water is huge to our ability statewide to be able to produce crops. And I know that even as the deputy, that was part of what you were working on. Talk about water.
I've been involved in water issues and irrigation in statewide in Hawaii my entire career. Water is the scarcest resource on the planet, and it is a real advantage for Hawaii to do agriculture going forward. If we look at places like Australia used to be a major food exporter of wheat and rice and other commodities that they're no longer exporting because with climate change, there have been an extended drought. And your ability to export food is your ability to have the water footprint to grow that food to then export it. And in a water-scarce world, Hawaii has amazing water resources. Our challenge will be to bring it to the surface and move it around. But as the pricing for water worldwide continues to rise, we have that advantage and we can capitalize doing that. And we're taking a look now. We're doing the planning currently at the Hawaii Department of Agriculture, and we're going from water region to water region. We're starting at Lake Wilson at Oahu. We'll be coming to Waimea on the Big Island sometime next year. We're looking at all of the opportunities to develop agricultural water resources and its nexus with alternative energy so that we can bring down the costs of pumping and moving the water around. We anticipate that water resources will be the key to growing agriculture in the 21st century, and we're doing the planning work now.
And as you say that, we, at least on the west side of Hawaii Island, are as dry as we can possibly be because we are in a drought. And with climate change, it's not clear what's going to happen relative to that. So when you say we have a lot of water resources, do we really?
If I were to be able to show you the Landsat imaging that we have that shows us where amazing water streams are coming down from Mauna Loa and going into the ocean every day, we have amazing water resources that we can tap. And the sustainable yield of those water resources are amazing. And they are island wide. The Big Island is water rich. It's not necessarily on the surface. It is on the windward side. It certainly isn't on the Kona side. But we can tap those water resources in the ground, bring them to the surface, move them around, and do amazing things.
Well, you know, that's a topic that came up has come up with the Keauhou Aquifer discussion. And all of the studies do seem to indicate that under our island, in addition to whatever streams are flowing down from Mauna Loa, but that under our island, we have a lot of water.
An amazing amount of water. You know, the geographers, the Juviks that did the Atlas of the Hawaiian Islands, their estimate was in Hilo Bay alone, every day, 6 billion gallons of fresh water flow into that bay. So that happens statewide. So it's not just the Big Island, it's every island. And Oahu, that has 85% of the population, needs to pay close attention to their aquifers, but they still have a lot of water resources to work with. The Big Island has amazing water resources to work with.
So it's really a matter more of moving the water to where it's needed than thinking we just don't have water.
That's exactly right.
Cool. Well, I know that Richard Haugh has been a huge advocate of trying to find a way to use better renewable energy to move water around, and he has said that renewable energy is the key to being able to make agricultural production cost-effective so the farmer can make money.
Richard and I are close friends. He's a board member of the Hawaii Department of Agriculture, and Richard and I have been on the same page for many years about the need to develop alternative agriculture and alternative energy for it.
I want to turn to another topic which is near and dear to the heart of everybody on Hawaii Island, I think, and that is invasive species. Now, I have specific questions, but what are your priorities relative to invasive species, understanding that Department of Agriculture has had a big role to play in attempting to stop invasive species?
The backstory on invasive species. You know, when the polling came out this year at the start of LEDGE, I looked at the different issues that the citizenry cared about. And most of those were economic issues. I didn't see invasive species there at all, and I was down in the one percenters. So I know in polling it depends on how you ask the question. And I'm sure if I were to present the question differently, and I could, I would get their attention. But currently, we haven't done a good job of risk communication on invasive species. So most don't understand the severity of the problem and the need to be reacting now. And if the citizens don't understand, their elected officials don't understand. And so in 2003, the Hawaii state legislatures created the Hawaiian Invasive Species Council. They've been funding it at various levels from nothing up to $5 million recently. But that same year in 2003, there was a study done that informed the LEDGE that they should be spending $50 million a year on invasive species if they really want to affect change on the problem. So this has never happened. And it's that risk communication, in my mind, that's missing. What I've asked the governor and what the governor has agreed to do is put a bill forward that's moving currently in the legislature to create a Hawaii Invasive Species Authority. We're taking it away from a council, making an attached authority to the Hawaii Department of Agriculture with a more robust board and a serious budget and staffing commensurate with the problem. So if that moves forward, I believe we can start to put a board together and an authority that will have the gravitas to start getting the attention, to do the work of risk communication so that the citizenry and their elected officials are paying attention to these issues.
Is the bill or proposal you're talking about what I've read about that's called a biosecurity program? Is that the same thing or is that something different? Because biosecurity sounds like terrorism to me, but I know it's in your department.
The Hawaii Department of Agriculture is charged with doing biosecurity, and it's spelled out for us. And that's the work of our plant quarantine branch. So as we look for different pests, different insects, pests that are coming in and diseases, that's considered biosecurity. As we come up with biocontrols for invasive species that are already present, that's biosecurity. As we create and fund a Hawaii ant lab so that we understand how the little fire ant moves and how we can control it, that's biosecurity. So biosecurity becomes many things. Currently, I have a contract that's out to come up with a statewide biosecurity plan. That's in conjunction with my intent to create the Hawaii Invasive Species Authority that will have a biosecurity plan that can help guide not just the Hawaii Department of Agriculture, but the entire state in these issues.
Well, I understand that part of the legislation is to give more authority to the Department of Agriculture to work with outside organizations to get the right answers. Am I correct in my understanding?
Yeah, that's certainly part of it. You know, there's a greater need. And, you know, I'll take little fire ants as an example. By the time little fire ants were identified on Hawaii Island, and that was in the late 90s, it was already deemed uncontrollable at that time. I wasn't there at the time, but reading the documents at the time, it couldn't be eradicated. So then you see what you can do in terms of control. But right now, it's not just moving on agricultural products. Because it's in homes, the potential is for it to move on household goods if somebody's moving household goods. It gets into cars and trucks and can move on them. It can move on construction equipment. It can move on just about anything now. And so to the extent that the Hawaii Department of Agriculture is checking agricultural commodities, we'll find some. But we need a coordinating group to look at everything now to see if we can't control it from moving around the state. And then with our biosecurity work, we'll see if we can come up with a biocontrol for little fire ants. We have yet to do that, but we haven't stopped looking.
Give us a brief statement on the Little Fire Ant Lab, which is in Hilo, so we understand what that is and what the work is there.
When little red fire ant was first discovered on Hawaii Island, most of the world and the state knew very little about it. So the Hawaii Department of Agriculture created an ant lab. The work that they do is exclusive to understanding ants, and specifically the little fire ants, and how to control them and potentially eradicate them. And the majority of the funding comes from the Hawaii Department of Agriculture.
Another invasive species we have here now, which is pretty scary, and I am going to do a full island issues on this, but it's rapid ohia death. Talk a little bit about that.
Ohia wilt, as it was first called, was identified 5 years ago. J.B. Friday, an extension agent with the University of Manoa Sitar, identified it out Kapoho side on the Big Island. And there was a wilting that was happening that was identified. And we didn't, as a state, we didn't quite understand what it was that we were looking at. I got a call from Senator Brian Schatz in June of last year asking me to get on a conference call while I was traveling. And the conference call was with USDA forestry officials from Hawaii and USDA's agricultural research facility in Hilo. And we had a discussion about ohia wilt, now called rapid ohia death. As we were talking through the needs for a quarantine, I was informing the group that they weren't going to have the science necessary by statute to move forward with a quarantine for 3 or 4 years, from what they were telling me. But what I did is I took the issue to the Board of Agriculture, and we did a preemptive quarantine. So in an attempt to keep rapid ohia death from moving around the state, we now have a quarantine on ohia and ohio products. The science continues to catch up. This coming board meeting in March, we will quarantine soil, and we've set up and done the work with the nurseries to come up with compliance programs so that nurseries continue to do business, and we inspect the soil media if they're using that, and allowing the nursery industries to flourish as we control rapid ohia death. So we'll work with the science as it comes forward, and we'll have a great deal of work to do with reforestation going forward because it's having a catastrophic effect on our forest cover.
I talked to Melora Purcell not long ago, who is very involved with these issues. And, I mean, she started crying when she talked about the death of the ohia trees because it is having a devastating effect.
There's an amazing genetic diversity in ohia. So it's the expectation that we will find resistant strains of ohia, and that's what we'll need to reforest with. But right now it looks like we're losing 60% of our cover wherever it strikes.
When you mention the soil quarantine, does that mean that nurseries cannot send soil to another part of this island or just to another island in the state? What does that really mean?
It means they can't move any soil off of the island. We have worked with the nursery industry. Most of the nursery industry works with sterile media on benches. It's what's called a certified nursery. There aren't many that use soil as a media. Some of the larger landscape plants use it. Plant in Hawaii, who does most of the fruit trees in the state. And we've come up with compliance agreements where we're inspecting their soil. What we're finding is that the fungus that leads to rapid ohia death is usually found immediately under the trees. So it's our expectation that for the time being, we're not going to find it in the media of nurseries, but we're still checking.
And with that, we're going to pause in our discussion with Scott Enright, Chair of Hawaii State Department of Agriculture, and pick it up in 2 weeks on Sunday, April 3rd. Next Sunday, it's Fire Chief Darren Rosario. This is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. The podcasts are online at Lava1053 and at KoaCountry1077.com. Thanks to our sponsor, Hawaiian Ukulele and guitar. Until next Sunday, please let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.